Tonkin Torp, LLP, a business litigation law firm servicing public companies, substantial private enterprises, entrepreneurial businesses, and individuals throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Tonkin Torp, celebrating its 50th year in business, is committed to the local community through pro bono support, nonprofit board service, and full service legal support. Learn more at tonkin.com. That's TONKON.com.
From the Gert Boyle Studio, it's OPB Politics Now for Friday, February 21st. Lori Chavez-Aremer returned to Washington, D.C. this week. The Happy Valley Republican is no longer a member of Congress, but she may soon be a member of President Donald Trump's cabinet. And unlike some of the other more controversial nominees, Chavez-Aremer's nomination for Labor Secretary appeared to draw more ire from her own party than Democrats. We'll explain. Welcome to the podcast. I'm OPB Politics reporter Alex Zielinski.
I'm OPB Politics reporter Bryce Dole.
And Bryce, you spent your Wednesday morning listening from afar to Lori Chavez-Aremer's confirmation hearing. First, thank you for listening. It's a public service.
I'm happy to do it.
Before we dive into the specifics of the pageantry, give us a quick background on Chavez-Aremer. What was her path to this point?
Lori Chavez-Aremer is a small business owner who worked for the city of Happy Valley for several years. She eventually became city councilor and mayor there. In 2022, she was elected as the first Republican woman elected to Congress in Oregon. She represented Oregon's 5th Congressional District, which goes from the Portland suburbs south through Albany and east over the Cascade Mountains to Bend. In Congress, she had a fairly bipartisan voting record, and she actually supported several union-friendly bills, including what's called the PRO Act, which hasn't passed, but essentially would make it easier for federal workers to unionize. She ran for re-election this last November, and she courted support from big business groups and labor groups alike, which was really significant for a Republican. Even House Speaker Mike Johnson said at a campaign rally once that she had more union support than basically any Republican that he had seen. Ultimately, she lost her seat to Democrat Janelle Bynum, but just a few weeks after that, President Donald Trump announced that he was nominating her for the job of labor secretary.
So that brings us to this week. And the lead up to her confirmation hearing was a little bit different than some of the other cabinet nominees. Can you tell us why?
Well, it's important to remember, for one thing, that she has kind of portrayed herself as a politically moderate Republican. Again, she needed to represent Oregon's 5th Congressional District, which is, you know, decidedly purple. It's a swing district. And she's certainly more moderate compared to some of the president's other nominees. And when it comes to labor issues, again, like, this was kind of the appeal for her, or at least that's what her supporters say, and that's what some Republicans have said, too. They emphasize that she has, like, a really solid understanding of the needs of both businesses, workers, and the unions that represent them. Her father was actually a member of the Teamsters Union, and she did, again, she received good support from large union and business groups. Among those groups were some of Oregon's largest farming and ranching groups, actually, such as the Oregon Farm Bureau. I recently talked to Jeff Stone. He's the executive director for the Oregon Association of Nurseries, which represents wholesale growers, retailers, and landscapers and suppliers throughout the state.
And while I may have my disagreements about unionization of a workforce, I think the Congresswoman she came from a state where you have to have both at the table. And that's not a sin, right?
But the surprising thing in recent weeks was that support for union-friendly legislation like the PRO Act, it drew criticism from some Republicans like Senator Rand Paul, and they said that they actually plan to oppose her nomination.
That is pretty unusual. When Republicans have really stood in lockstep, for the most part, behind Trump's picks.
Right.
That is, aside from former Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, who didn't make it to a confirmation hearing for attorney general. But everyone else appears to be moving forward so far. You covered Chavez-Aremer's congressional campaign, which was really hard-fought, like you said, and drew tons of attention. Were you expecting kind of this level of blowback when she was nominated?
When she was nominated, she did seem to be one of the less controversial of Trump's cabinet nominees, right? You know, it seemed like Pete Hegseth and RFK Jr., you know, kind of were in headlines almost every single day. But again, her supporters say that the fact that she had that union support is exactly why they picked her. And that wasn't the only issue that harassment that she faced. NBC News reported, I think last week, that Chavez Dreamer had worked actually at a Planned Parenthood clinic in her 20s. She had campaigned as a moderate on abortion rights this last year. And so all of this suggested that, unlike other nominees, she would actually need some Democrats supporting her on her side to be approved as labor secretary, because there were questions around her Republican support.
Okay, so let's get to the hearing itself. There were some big names in the room. Tell us about who was questioning Chavez Dreamer.
She testified in front of, like I said, Senator Rand Paul. Senator Bernie Sanders was on this committee. Senator Patty Murray, who was one of the lawmakers who introduced the PRO Act. She's from Washington. She was also on this committee. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who was a college football coach in Alabama, he was here. And again, this was an interesting moment because it really felt like the first time that Donald Trump and the Republican Party were putting somebody out there who could potentially bring organized labor broadly into the Republican fold. Republicans in the past haven't really done this. You know, unions, the Democratic Party has always been kind of the pro-union party. So this was really different. And in fact, one of the people who recommended her for this job was actually the president of the Teamsters Union, and that's Sean O'Brien. So again, this was a really unique moment.
Sure. Yeah. And describe for us the line of questioning. Who went first? What sort of battle lines were drawn, so to speak, in the questions themselves?
She was probably one of the only nominees that was grilled at times by Republicans. For example, Senator Rand Paul, like I said, was among a handful of Republicans who had openly said that he planned to oppose her. Republicans like him pressed her during this hearing on her support of the PRO Act. Initially, she wouldn't really answer directly whether she supported the bill now or not. And the bill, again, just I should clarify, it has been stalled in Congress. But Chavez Dreamer appeared to kind of shift her stance a little bit when Senator Paul asked her about this.
I fully, fairly, and support states who want to protect their right to work. I have said that to every senator that I have visited.
So you no longer support the aspect of the PRO Act that would have overturned state right to work laws?
Yeah. There were so many parts.
That's a yes?
Yes. There. Yes, sir.
And Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville also asked her about the news that she worked at a Planned Parenthood clinic. And I should note again that Chavez Dreamer had campaigned previously in Oregon as a moderate on abortion rights because, you know, it's legal here in Oregon. But her response was certainly not what she sounded like on the campaign trail.
We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. My constituents want to know, you worked in Planned Parenthood years and years ago. You pro-life or pro-choice?
I am supportive of the president's agenda. I have a 100% pro-life voting record in Congress, and I will continue to support the America First agenda, which we know includes life.
Good answer.
So it seems that perhaps Republicans heard exactly what they wanted to hear, which could be the final key for her approval. And I should note that later in the day, because of this, Senator Ron Wyden actually issued a statement saying that he would no longer vote for Chavez Dreamer because she appeared to walk back her support of the PRO Act and because of her comments on abortion rights.
Oh, interesting. And this piece is probably unsurprising, but Elon Musk came up in these talks. When did that happen, and what was the context?
It was pretty clear early on that the recent actions by Musk and the Trump administration was going to be one of the biggest things in the room for Democrats. You know, they asked about Trump's decisions to, you know, downsize the federal government and Musk's involvement in that, you know, holding federal funding, firing a member of the National Relations Board, and other things that would really concern the Labor Department. Most of the time, Chavez Dreamer, she evaded these questions. She said that she wasn't privy to the full situation. She said that she wasn't an attorney, and she couldn't answer certain ethics questions. And she said that she just didn't expect President Trump to ever ask her to do anything that would violate the law. But again, like you said, what Democrats brought up over and over again was Elon Musk and his influence on federal agencies and the Labor Department. Just to recap, Musk is the world's richest man. He's a billionaire leader of companies like Tesla and SpaceX. These companies have faced federal scrutiny, complaints and investigations due to a variety of alleged violations, including workplace safety issues that the Labor Department has been taking up itself. But Musk, who donated a lot of money to Trump's campaign, millions of dollars, and has since been appointed the head of the initiative that the Trump administration calls DOGE, or the Department of Government Efficiency. Recently, Democrats have been pushing back on him and his team's efforts. Musk's team has been recently reported as to having accessed what Democrats describe as sensitive information in federal agencies like the Labor Department, which is, again, scrutinizing him. So Senator Patty Murray from Washington pressed Chavez Dreamer on exactly this issue, and things at times got very tense between them.
Will you allow anyone, a billionaire or anyone else, to come in and access that?
Again, because I have not been confirmed. I only see the reports that everybody else has seen. I have not been read into that. If confirmed, yeah,
You're not answering the question.
If confirmed, I will support the Department of Labor. I think it's important to support the Department of Labor.
Clearly, she stuck to the talking points, which is exactly what a lot of the nominees did, and she avoided these big issues, these big national issues, however she could.
Yeah, she's conquering the art of dodging the question. What else stood out to you from the hearing?
Well, Chavez Dreamer was repeatedly pushed on questions about things like paid leave and raising the minimum wage. Both parties kind of talked about the rising cost of living in the country and how wages aren't keeping pace with that. They blamed, the opposite party's administration. And basically, Chavez Dreamer said over and over again, these are questions for Congress. Not her. She's not a member of Congress anymore. But she did acknowledge that the federal minimum wage hasn't increased from $7.25 since 2009. And obviously during that time, the cost of living has gone up. But she said that this is just not an issue for her to weigh in on. Senator Bernie Sanders actually asked her about this too.
I understand that Congress makes the law, but you have an opinion and you will be the leading advocate for workers if you are confirmed. Question. If you were sitting where I'm sitting, would you vote to raise the minimum wage to a living wage?
Well, I'm not sitting where you're sitting, hypothetically. I used to, but not any longer.
While she faced some tough questions from Democrats, overall, their questioning wasn't nearly as hostile as those that were afforded to other, Trump nominees, like Pete Hegseth or RFK Jr. or Kash Patel. Some Democrats even said during the hearing they were committed to working with her. One of them said that he assumed that she would be confirmed. Another one said he looked forward to planning a trip with her in the state that he represents, and that's Colorado. Even Bernie Sanders said that he reviewed her record. He said it was very good. If you're one of Chavez Dreamer's supporters, this is a really good sign.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier about Oregon Senator Ron Wyden putting out a statement that he would not support her. I mean, I'm curious, and you're mentioning a bunch of Democrats who are on her side. Does it feel like she has enough support to be confirmed?
At this point, I would venture yes, because, again, Republicans appeared yesterday to hear what they wanted to hear. Their big questions were, do you still support the PRO Act and the parts that they were concerned about, specifically those that would, as they say, overturn right-to-work laws? She walked back her support of that. And then, Democrats appeared, like I said, warmer to her than some of the other nominees. So I would say that this is a pretty good sign. I think, one of the big questions now is, people who supported her in the Pacific Northwest, who I spoke with, kind of said it could be a really great thing to have somebody from the Pacific Northwest at such a high-level position in the federal government. I think we've had six cabinet members from Oregon in the past. It's been a few years since an Oregonian has been in the president's cabinet. And so they think that she could be a really good voice for the Pacific Northwest. But I think the bigger question is whether or not she's going to be able to hold true to her values or whether she's just going to have to do the things that the Trump administration wants and that Elon Musk wants and how she'll kind of navigate that.
Hold the line. Great. Well, let's leave the conversation here for today. Thank you, Bryce, for joining me.
Thanks.
This week's episode was produced by Andrew Thien, and our audio engineer is Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. In these uncertain times, we are certain that you have questions about local politics. Maybe we can answer them. We would love to hear from you. Email us at opbpoliticsnow@opb.org. We'll be back next week with more political news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, you can find all of OPB's reporting at opb.org. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.